الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل محمد وعلى محمد. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، respected scholars, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We had discussed yesterday that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it clear that the ethical system seeks to build an atmosphere of brotherhood. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. And that if there's any tension that exists between these brothers, our aim should always be not to allow the tension to overspill, but rather to close the gap of the tension as quick as we can. If you allow the tension to overspill, it could have repercussions that can never ever be cured, be mended, be sorted for many a year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after saying this, now wants to show us that there are some acts which you don't know about, or which you don't reflect about, which could easily cause dissension in what was otherwise a community of brotherhood. Verse 11, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum. The first part of the verse says, O you who claim to have true belief, don't let one nation make fun of another nation, for there is a chance that the nation they are making fun of is better than them. Why do we make fun? The first question is, why do we make fun? Sometimes you will find that a human being will make fun, but innocently. You're with your friend and then you share a joke between each other, light-hearted. But then there are certain people who make fun with actual malice. No, there's an intention behind the making fun. So the question then is, what is the psychological motive of us making fun? There are certain people, whenever you are around them, anyone who walks past them, they make fun of him. Anyone. Oh, look at him. Oh, look at him. Oh, look at him. Anyone who walks past is not free from their net. The first reason, idle thumbs, makes the devil's work. Islam abhors laziness. And Islam abhors idle chat. And if you are in a world of laziness, stroke idle chat, and you're not really discussing the issues or reflecting upon the issues your religion has asked you to reflect upon, then you have nothing much else to do. And when you are idle, then nobody escapes from your fishnet. You've seen how the fisherman catches the fish. The people who are idle are looking to catch human beings. Number two, it's because of envy. 100% because of envy. In the Quran we mention, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدْ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. There are people out there who make fun of another group of people out of envy. They see this person's been successful in their life. They measure their success sometimes according to material. They don't measure success sometimes according to belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measures success according to belief. We measure success materially. Does he have a fast car? Successful. Does he have a nice house? Successful. Does he wear nice clothes? Successful. And we begin then, when we're sitting with our group of friends, we begin to make fun of that person. Why? Envious. Why don't we have these things? Why does he have all these things? Number three, arrogance. We think we are better than everybody, so all we do is make fun of everybody. You'll see it. That normally those who make fun of everybody, they tend to fall in the arrogant group. The person will not look at his own faults. No, he is infallible. There were how many ma'sumeen? Add another one. This guy. He is ma'sum. There's no faults in him, so he makes fun of everyone. Arrogance. Sometimes, the fourth reason, insecurity. The best way I remove an insecurity about my own behavior is making fun of others. I keep making fun, keep making fun, keep making fun. If you turn around and make fun of me, look how sensitive he is. Have you seen people like this or no? When they make fun of people, they're enjoying it. If you make fun of him this much, he throws a tantrum. And he's like, what are you trying to talk about? What do you mean? What do you mean? You're like, Habibi, you were just making fun of me for 2 hours. Now I make fun of you for 1 minute, you start going crazy. Insecure. And they take out their insecurity by making fun of other people. And what does Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen say about the arrogance and the insecure? In the Nahj, Imam talks about the peacock. Look at Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. Where his mind is and where the mind of the people is at the time. You've got a person leading in Sham who tells his people to pray Salat al-Jum'ah on a Wednesday and they actually pray it. Salat al-Jum'ah. So why are we praying on Wednesday? And you've got this man who says, look at the creation of the peacock. He's trying to show us arrogant people are always insecure about something. That's why they are arrogant. There's something in their life that they do not want exposed. So what they do, they act with arrogance to cover the insecurity. Imam says, look at the creation of the peacock. When you look at a peacock, do you see how it stretches its feathers? You go anywhere. You go to a zoo. You go to a palace. You'll see the peacock goes like this. And you look at the feathers and you say, oh my God, I have never seen beautiful colors like that. Imam says, it tries to divert your attention from its skinny legs. Subhanallah. A peacock, its legs are so skinny. So it tells you, look at my colors, look at my colors. Don't look at my legs. Those who make fun of others constantly, you will find that there is something in their life. One day you may hit the raw nerve. And when you've hit the raw nerve, you'll notice that that person who acts so jovial suddenly becomes a machine. You've hit a nerve they don't like. The Quran wanted to tell us in Surah Al-Hujurat, in this verse, brotherhood isn't just a display of hugging and kissing. We Iraqis, we like kissing when we say salam to people, yes? Khawaja community, you're lucky maybe if someone stands up for you from his seat to shake your hand. Sometimes you may go to a gathering and there'll be seven elders sitting. You walk in, there's no standing up. Stand up for who? Stand up. Everyone embrace, hugging. In this community, people hug. In the Iraqi community, people kiss. Even in the Gulf states, you will find that our Arab brethren bring their noses together and rub it against each other. I don't know where that began. I have not got a clue where that began. But anyway, you respect everyone's cultures. When you look at this, that's visible brotherhood, isn't it? Visible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just want visible brotherhood. He wanted us to have internal brotherhood where we knew each other's rights. Don't come and say salamu alaykum to me and stab me in my back. There's many. Salamu alaykum, it's so nice to see you. Do you know how much I don't like that Sayyid Ammar Nakhshawani? You were just saying salamu alaykum to me and you were hugging me. 2 minutes later you're stabbing me in my back. Doesn't matter, keep stabbing. Oscar Wilde used to say, a good friend stabs you in the front, not in the back. That we'll come to in a second, when we're talking about finding faults in people. So the Quran said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ يَكُونُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. O you who believe, don't let one group of people make fun of another group of people, because there's a chance that other group of people is better than them. That's why you'll notice in the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet would notice that sometimes the Muslims, they'd make fun of one another. The Aus would make fun of the Khazraj. This Jewish man began instigating an argument between the Aus and the Khazraj. There was no argument, they had become Muslims. Their old arguments about, you know, you stole my sheep or your camel gave my daughter a dirty look. These arguments left, alhamdulillah. Those were only in the days of Jahiliyyah. This man instigated. One of the Aus went to punch the Khazraj. The Khazraj said, we're better than you. The Quran said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah and do not disunite. But then on one occasion, what did you find? On one occasion you found the Holy Prophet, very interestingly, when this verse was revealed, he was leading Salah. Thabit ibn Qais walked into the Salah Jama'ah. When Thabit ibn Qais walked into the Salah Jama'ah, do you know what Thabit did? Thabit wanted to come to the front line. When Thabit wanted to come to the front line of Salat al-Jama'ah, there was someone who was in his way. Thabit tried to move this person. The person stayed in his place, because the Salah was just about to begin. As soon as the Salah finished, Thabit turned around to the person and he said, what's your name? The person gave his name. He said, who's your mother? The person gave his mother's name. Thabit said, isn't your mother the one who used to have this job before? The verse was revealed. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum. Don't let one group of people make fun of another group, because there's a chance the one you're making fun of is better than you. How dare you bring up his mother's reputation? What does it have to do with him? And that's why you notice the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, when they were getting married, as I've mentioned in my majalis, many of them married women from Africa. Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Kadhim, Imam al-Ridha, Imam al-Jawad, Imam al-Hadi. You'll find that amongst those imams, they have married women from Africa. Someone says, why would Imam al-Sadiq, who has all the women in Medina to choose from, marry a woman from Africa? On top of that, Imam al-Sadiq is a Sayyid, isn't he? I think he is. Yeah. His lineage we don't need to check. Imam al-Sadiq is a Sayyid. I thought Sayyid can only marry Sayyida. How many times do you hear in the community, Sayyid Ammar, my son is a Sayyid, he wants to marry a non-Sayyida. I'm telling him, no. Because you are a Sayyid, and a Sayyid only marries a Alwiya or a Sayyida. Hold on. If a Sayyid only marries a Sayyida, what's Imam al-Sadiq doing marrying a non-Sayyida? Hamida. Al-Barbariya was from the woman of North Africa, the mother of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, and Imam Radha's mother, and Imam al-Jawad's mother, Imam al-Jawad, Imam al-Hadi, all of them, their mothers are from North Africa, let's say. The reports differ on some of them, but you'll find many of the narrations talk of their mothers being from North Africa. Why? Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was trying to say, you Arabs, don't get used to making fun of another group, because that group may end up being better than you. Imam al-Sadiq ends up marrying from Arabs or non-Arabs? Non-Arabs. So Imam al-Sadiq was saying to us, what? He was saying, beware. You make fun of other groups, those other groups may be more worthy, because those other groups gave me Musa ibn Ja'far, not you. Even Imam Abi Abdullah al-Husayn salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, his wife Shahr Banu, originally known as Shah Zanan, is from Persia. You think the Arabs at that time weren't making fun of the Persians? Of course they were. But Ahlul Bayt wanted to break this qawmiyyah, this form of asabiyya, that don't make fun of another nation thinking you're better. Let's continue. The next line is very dangerous. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ. And don't let woman make fun of woman. Oh! Woman making fun of woman. It's not me who's saying this. Quran. If you let a woman loose against another woman, you will see communities which will be destroyed when they start making fun of each other. You see her dress? Who does she think she is wearing a dress like that? Look at her hijab. She's not even wearing hijab properly. Look at the way she talks. Who does she think talking like this? Look at her city. She's from this city, this lady. She's not even educated. And sometimes you come home from long day at work. Yes, your sister phoned me today. Oh, alhamdulillah, good news. My sister, alhamdulillah. Why is she talking to me like this? Oh, I've come home from a long day at work. You're telling me why is she talking? I'm looking at balance sheets and checks and accounts, and you're telling me why is she talking? Or the classic one is when the woman all come back from a wedding. At the beginning things are calm, and then when you begin to notice that women are talking about other women, making fun of other women, and straight away the phone, pick it up, phone your sister on the other part of the world, other side. I was at these people's wedding today. Would you believe that her dress was orange? Baba, why are you making fun? Leave the lady alone, she got married. Is it me or is it the Quran? The Quran. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the basis of a strong community are mothers. But if they don't have akhlaq with each other, the community will fall. Napoleon used to say, give me good mothers, I'll give you a strong nation. Which logically means, if the mothers are not good, our nations will fall. And sometimes in our communities, unless our women, we cater for them to be involved, then that idle time will bring idle chit-chat. We need Quran classes for our women. We need our women to be involved in media. We need our women to be involved in charity and fundraising. Unfortunately, in Muslim communities sometimes, the men are always involved in the activities of the committee, but the women, their role is simply to turn up in a wedding and look good. Our women have to be active in our communities. If they're not, this idle chit-chat will continue. And that's why even when this part was revealed, where it says, وَلَا نِسَى, when this verse was revealed, it involved Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, involved in making fun of women on a number of occasions, alongside Hafsa, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Rasulullah married a lady called Safiya. Safiya originally from a Jewish ancestry. So one day Aisha says to Safiya, Safiya, who's your ancestors? Trying to mock her. Safiya was sad. She went to Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, Aisha makes fun of me. Why? Says that, oh Safiya, who are your ancestors? Rasulullah said, Safiya, what's the problem? Your ancestors are Musa and Harun. The question is, who are your ancestors? Then you have further than this. Aisha making fun of Salama. Now, Salama is much older than Aisha. And let's put it on the part of Aisha that there may have been a naivety in her young age. Try studying the Battle of Jemen. Let's say that there was a naivety. And she comes, Salama was wearing this like cloth. The cloth was hanging out. So you find that Aisha says that that cloth looks like a dog whose tongue is hanging out. The Quran would say, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin, asa yakunu khayran minhum, wa la nisa'un min nisa', asa an yakunna khayran minhunna. Because that woman you're making fun of may be better than you. Clear? And Aisha making fun of Khadija after Khadija has died. We are told when someone passes away, leave the issue. Isn't it? Marhum. Leave it. The person Allah will judge. She would come to Rasulullah and say, why do you always bring the memory of the lady with the inflamed gums? Quran said, don't make fun of other women because in this case, they are definitely better than you. That's this case, definitely better than you. Because Rasulullah said, Khadija believed in me when nobody else did. Khadija trusted me when nobody else did. Khadija gave from her wealth when nobody else did. And Khadija gave me Fatima. What have you given? Nothing. Where? There is children? Therefore the Quran was saying, don't let women make fun. And I'll tell you something. Our woman will only reach that level when us as fathers, or us as husbands, or us as brothers give them a push away from idle chit-chat, and towards following the role models of Islam. In my lecture on Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah wa salamu alayha, I made it very clear that when it comes to the Lady of Light, Fatima, she has the famous khutbah where she spoke out against those who usurped Fadak. Do we have in our community today, in our Muslim community, women who have memorized the khutbah of Fatima al-Zahra at Fadak? Will you believe if you go to Muslim community and you say to the woman, have you even heard that Fatima gave a khutbah at Fadak? Many will say, if your world isn't a world where you're studying Sayyida Zainab's khutbah in Kufa and in Sham, then of course all you're going to be doing is chit-chat. Fatima, Zainab, Khadija, all of these came to leave a legacy for our woman, so that they become role models in society. Not women who just sit idly. Today, I'm telling you, you have certain shows which are dedicated in the Western media and in the European media and in the Middle Eastern media. I swear, if you go to Dubai or if you go to Lebanon, you will find that there are shows on the television where there are women who are sitting down making fun of other women in the society. That's it. Oh, of course, these women who are making fun, Shahar Ramadan, they are fasting. Or in Easter, they are crossing. But the rest of the year, let's make fun of this actress, let's make fun of this singer, let's make fun. The society becomes a society where this virus spreads everywhere. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And do not find faults in yourselves. This person has a fault. 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 The president has a fault. The secretary has a fault. The treasurer has a fault. The leader of namaz has a fault. The one behind him has a fault. The Quran recites has a fault. We are a community who are fantastic at finding faults sometimes, isn't it? We'll never, if you play hide and seek with me, with faults, wallah, I'll find the fault. The Quran said, what? وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not find what? Faults in yourselves. Meaning what? Meaning don't be a community, oh Muslim, ethical, moral community, who the whole time, all you're looking to do is look at the faults of your fellow community members. When a new committee comes into the mosque, how many times do you hear people saying, he's not doing a good job, he's not doing this properly, he's this, he's this. We love to find faults. That means we're going to build a community based on pessimism, not optimism. Isn't it? Always negative. Maulana X, his lectures are too short. Maulana Y, his lectures are too long. Maulana X, his salah is too long. Maulana Y, his salah is too short. Maulana X, his turban is too white. Maulana Y, his turban is too black. Is that all? That's the only discussion we have. How can we find faults in our community? Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salam alayhi. Says, على العاقل أن يحصى من نفسه مساويها في الدين والرأي والأخلاق والآداب فيجمع ذلك في صدره أو في كتاب ويعمل في إزالتها. It is incumbent upon every person according to Amir al-Mu'mineen that he carefully looks over his weaknesses in regards to following his religion, his thoughts, his etiquette, and that of his interaction with other people, and he should either record these in his heart or write them down, and then he should strive to remove all of these from himself. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, before finding faults in others, are you ma'soom? Am I ma'soom for me to find faults in everybody else? And then Imam al-Baqir, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, what does he say? كفى بالمرء عيبا أن يبصر من الناس ما يعمى عنه من نفسه. Sufficient is a person's own defect that he tries to pick and look faults in other people when he has the same faults. Sometimes we all need mirrors, not of the body but of the soul. Because sometimes when we pick faults in others in a Muslim community, the reality is the origin of the fault is us and within us. If I say she is rude, am I not being rude saying she is rude? If I say she is arrogant, am I not being arrogant judging who's arrogant? Because the only judge is one, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True? And that's why arguably the best hadith in this area, مَنْ بَحَثَ عَنْ عُيُوبِ النَّاسِ فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِنَفْسِهِ. Who looks for the faults in the people should begin with himself. You're looking for the faults in mankind. First look at the faults in yourself. And in this holy month of Ramadan, it is vital that we reflect on our nafs. How many times Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Du'a Kumail, how many times talks about his nafs. There's a constant usage of the word nafs in Du'a Kumail, where he talks about how his nafs needs purification, needs reform, needs reflection. And that's why, shall I tell you who's the worst of friends? You find Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen gives us a list of friends. And he says the worst of friends, be careful. What does he say? إِيَّاكَ وَمَعَاشِرَةَ مُتَّجَبِ عَيُوبِ النَّاسِ فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَسْلَمْ مُصَاحِبُهُمْ مِنْهِمْ. What does the Imam say? Be careful about keeping relations with people who look for faults in others. Since surely there is not a single person who will be safe from such people. When you sit with someone who's making fun or faults of others, I swear the moment you leave, he'll make faults of you. I'm telling you 100%. You're making faults of others and you're listening to him. Leave and see him what he's saying about you 5 minutes later. And that's why in this world, believe me, I'm only in my 20s, but I've seen these things so clearly. And those who are older than me will say to me, don't worry, we've seen this and double. Isn't it? Someone asks the question, but Sayyid Ammar, how about if someone comes up to me and says to me, I as a brother want to tell you about a fault you have. That's fantastic. That's very good. That's good akhlaq. Because you have two options. Either you can come and tell the whole community by a microphone, or you come and say to the person himself. I myself may have found faults in a system somewhere where I've directly told the person who heads it, I'm sorry, but I've got faults with this. And people may have turned around to me and said, Sayyid Ammar, you have a fault. Constructive criticism is excellent. We don't want destructive criticism. Don't come too harsh on me. But something which is constructive. As the Ahlul Bayt say, Imam al-Sadiq, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. رحم الله امرأ أهدى إلي عيوبي. When he says أهدى إلي عيوبي, what does he mean? He says, may Allah have mercy on that person who offers a gift to me. Which gift? That he shows me my mistakes or my own shortcomings. Good, that's the true Muslim. We have a tendency, if you're useful to us, or you're powerful, we don't point out the faults to people like that because we are benefiting from them. But with the weak, we love to point out their faults. It's very difficult for a human. If now in the community, you have someone in your community who's very wealthy, it's very difficult to go up to them and say, you know what? What you're doing there isn't right. Because this person, without his money, the community doesn't move. Tell me, who is the Razzaq, him or Allah? And that's the problem we face in our Muslim communities. If my brother has a wedding in the Muslim community, and my brother, for example, does something wrong, I'll come up to him and I'll say, you're wrong. If someone rich and powerful in the community has a wedding where the ladies are not wearing hijab the way it should be, and the hair is in its finest, and the dress is short, and the music is everywhere, I'm not going to go up to him and say, you're wrong. Am I? Because if I say wrong to Mr. Powerful, I'm in trouble. And that's where some of the leaders, the religious leaders of our communities, failed. Failed. Why? Ya Mawlana, you're telling me about being religious. But why is it that that person in the community, you're always very open and good with him? Because that person is a bank. And we love banks, don't we? Go to the Muslim communities around the world. Wallah. Arab, African, Indian, Pakistani, Iranian, wherever you go. Why? Mawlana always has a good relationship with the rich. Mawlana, you know you're telling me about this, but your relationship with the rich, it's very healthy. Sayyid Ammar, but you know, you have to understand, without this person, my rizq is not there. Mawlana, there is someone whose rizq is millions of times greater, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I tell you in my experiences, and I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms this for me on the Day of Judgment, that if you tell me I'm invited to a person's house, I will go to people's houses across the community. You look for the hearts. And mind you, sometimes the wealthier, the stingier. Wallah, you may find someone, simple house, but so generous. And someone whose house looks like a castle, he can't take out. And you know, in the school of Ahlul Bayt today, would you believe, we have reached a fantastic stage, really brilliant stage now. When the representative of a scholar comes to town, his pockets have envelopes. So when the representative comes, all of the ulama come out to say salam. Envelope. Envelope. In Arabic we call it dharaf. And this person becomes more powerful than the marja, because he is Mr. Dharaf. Mr. Envelopes. and you see the Mawlana, and you're like, Mawlana, Mawlana, are you that low that you take envelopes? Imam al-Hadi used to work in the fields. Work in the fields. I'll discuss Imam al-Hadi tonight. He used to work in the fields. People used to say to him, Imam al-Hadi, what are you doing working? We'll give you envelopes. Imam said, my grandfather Amir al-Mu'mineen used to work. Envelopes, the school of Ahlul Bayt has become. Take. And wallah, have you seen honey and the bees? They're all sitting. Where's the envelope? The representative has come. All arise for the king. Oh, people don't get happy when you say these things, by the way, because you're blocking their rizq. But either the minbar is used to speak out, or the minbar shouldn't have no use. And then the verse continued, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. And do not what? Do not defame each other with bad nicknames. Khaja community and nicknames. Ooh. Nicknames. What is that mullah called? Mullah Ghaib. You heard about him? The one who fell down from the minbar. Poor Mullah Ghaib was giving a majlis on Ahlul Bayt. And then he talked about Imam Zaman in the Masaib. So the lights were switched off. He's talking, talking. The lights were switched off. He said, yeah, Imam Zaman, if you had been at Karbala. Suddenly it goes quiet. People say, why is it going quiet? They look, Mawlana's not on the minbar. People are thinking Mawlana has run away. It turned out the seat of the minbar broke. Mawlana fell down. Mawlana died. Last time I heard about a Mawlana called Mawlana Hatrick. Hold on. The last time I checked, Hatrick means you score 3 goals. This Mawlana did 3 masaib in one night. They called him Mullah Hatrick. And there are other nicknames which are given. Someone last time said to me, Sayyid Ammar, there is a community where there is Maghrib and Isha. And I said, are you serious? There is people who are known as Maghrib and Isha. Why? He said, Maghrib is the lighter and Isha looks dark. Honestly, this is true. People said this. And the Zanzibaris here. Where's the Zanzibaris? I know they're sitting in front of me and they're hiding. Each one of them is given a nickname. And they've given the whole world nicknames now. That sometimes you say to the person, what's your name? He gives you the nickname. No, I want to know your real name. And there's others. Now, Islam came and said, watch. These alqab, these nicknames and names. Someone, if I say to someone in jest, okay. But if I'm using a rude word or bad language, that is haram. Someone says, why, Sayyid Ammar? What's wrong with it? Why are you saying it's haram? You and that person grew up together. The name may be something you shared a joke between each other. The person's children may not want their dad to be known like this. Have respect. A child grows up, sees the dad as the beacon of light, but sees people making fun of the dad. Even though that person may be the dad's best friend, the child gets hurt. And the child then begins to question leadership of the community. And I tell you, you find in the time of the Prophet, forget nicknames, in the time of the Prophet, they used to have some unbelievable names. Like their class register must have been unbelievable. There was a person, once saw a fox urinating on the idol. This person was an Arab idol worshipper. So he saw the fox urinating on the idols. So he said, what am I doing worshipping these idols? When a fox urinates, the idol doesn't protect it itself. What am I doing? أَرَبٌ يَبُولُ الثَّعْلَبَانُ بِرَأْسِهِ لَقَدْ دَلَّ مَنْ بَالَتْ عَلَيْهِ الثَّعَالِبُ. A lord who the foxes urinate on him, anything that a fox is able to urinate upon should be despised. When he told the Prophet what happened, the Prophet said, what's your name? He said, Ibn Zalim. Ibn Zalim. That means his dad's name was Zalim, the oppressor. Imagine you say, Salamu alaykum, Zalim. There was another person whose name was what? Whose name was Shaytan. Now this class register, if you were at school, would have been so interesting. Zalim, yes. Shaytan, yes. Where are we, in hell or in school? Even a person's dad once complained to Umar bin Khattab. He said to him, my son is rude to me. Umar said, young man, are you rude to your dad? He said, yes. He said, but young man, don't you know one of the rights of your father is that you treat him with respect? The young man turned around and said, but O Khalifa, isn't one of my rights as a child to be given a good name? He said, yes. He said, you know what he's named me? He said, what? He said, Beetle. In Arabic, we may refer to it today in terms, Khanaftana, the Iraqis will say. Others give a different name. Imagine someone at school refers to you the whole day as a beetle. You look at your dad and you're like, why did you name me a lion? Why a beetle? Islam came and said what? Islam came and said, بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. It's a shame what? That a person after truth, faith, keeps these names. And that's why Ahlul Bayt focused, make sure the rights of your child is you give them a good name. A good name. And that's why you see in Islamic history, they try to erase the names of Al-Muhammad. They try to erase. Muawiyah says to Ibn Abbas, Ibn Abbas, I heard you have a child. Ibn Abbas said, yes. He said, what did you name him? He said, Ali. Muawiyah looked at him, he said, Ali? He said, yes. He said, what's the title you gave him? He said, Abul Hassan. He said, oh, both. Two in one. Ibn Abbas said, yes. He said, choose one and delete the other if you want to stay in my state. Ali was the name they tried to erase from Islam. Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi on Eid al-Adha says, what do the people do at Eid al-Adha? They sacrifice. Then sacrifice everyone called Ali, Hassan and Hussein. A man goes to Syria. He says, I hadn't heard the name in Sham, Hassan and Hussein. I went to see my friend. He knew that I came, so he called his children, Hassan, Hussein, come. When Hassan Hussein came, I said, MashaAllah. You named your children after the grandsons of Rasulullah. He said, what do you mean, mashallah? Why mashallah? He said, so why did you name them? He said, so when I get angry, I say, oh God, curse Hassan. Oh God, curse Hussein. Do not erase these. Allah will never allow them to be erased. But we should not erase them from our communities. I'm telling you today, I'm hearing names in our communities. I don't know where we're going. Hassan, Hussein, Ja'far, these names have to stay. Because the legacy remains forever. And that's why Allah concludes the verse, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. If now you know that you are the type of person, you think you're better than another group, you think woman, as woman you are better than other woman, and you're the type of person who finds faults in people, and you've made a nickname about someone which is still a rude name, then perform Tawbah in the holy month of Ramadan. Say, Ya Allah, forgive me. I didn't know, and now this will not be done again, and I sincerely regret what I did. If not, Allah says, you are a zalim. You are oppressive if you don't. But if you do, then Allah's guidance is clear. Tomorrow, or Saturday inshallah, we will continue by looking at how suspicion and ghiba have destroyed our communities, and how Islam wanted them to be